The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother, John, in the boat with their father, Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen.
Amen.
Today is a special day at St. Francis, hence the packed pews, I guess. Wouldn't it be great if every service was this packed? All you have to do is show up every Sunday, and it'll be like this all the time. It's a special day because we have our annual meeting and vestry elections, and it's a day to celebrate who we are and what we do and the mission and ministry that we share. There are a lot of celebrations in the air at the moment. Ben and Dana and Roland and I just spent 2 days over at the Reston Hyatt for our annual diocesan council, where we did a lot of celebrating. We heard about some of the ministries that are going on. We welcomed our new bishop. We heard from Bishop Jones that he plans to retire at the end of next year's council. And so we started to celebrate his ministry. On Tuesday, I went down to Atlanta to celebrate with Alan at his new parish, his celebration of new ministry. It used to be called the Rector's Installation, but these days it's a mutual celebration. And it was a really wonderful evening. Sharon Nachman was there, too, to represent St. Francis. And people stood in line at the reception after the service to have an opportunity to tell me how happy they are to have Alan there and how grateful they are to St. Francis for forming him as a priest. It was extremely satisfying to hear that. In a couple of weeks, actually a week from Saturday, Dana Buchanan will be ordained to the permanent diaconate, and she will remain with us for the next 2 years. This is a first for the Diocese of Virginia. There'll be 5 people ordained permanent deacons. We've never done that before in this diocese, so there'll be a great celebration of that historic milestone, as well as an affirmation of Dana's ministry. And God willing, and the bishop consenting, at the beginning of April, Ben will be ordained a priest right here at St. Francis. And I hope that all of you will come to that celebration. So plenty of celebrations behind and ahead of us. We need celebrations. We need to mark important moments in our lives, important passages from one time of life to another. We need celebrations to honor heroic and faithful service, as we honored Bishop Jones and a number of people at council the last 2 days, and as we will honor a parishioner at our annual meeting in a couple of hours. We need celebrations to look forward to on gray and dark winter days. But we can't live on a constant diet of celebration. It would be too rich. It would be like having breakfast, having chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sounds like a great idea, but after a while, you don't feel very well on that constant diet. So we need stretches of time that is just ordinary to make the celebrations more special, to have an opportunity to look forward to them. Ordinary time is the rest of our lives. It's the vast majority of our lives. When I work with engaged couples with premarital counseling, I spend most of our time together talking about the life that lies ahead of them. I spend a very small proportion of our time talking about the wedding day. Doesn't matter how big the guest list is, or how special the day is, or how beautiful the ceremony is, a marriage will live or die on the ordinary time, the days, the months, the years, the decades, God willing, ahead, days of school schedules and work, of vacation planning, of repairs to homes, of dishes to be washed, children to be cared for, lists to be made, disagreements to be negotiated. That's what makes a marriage, the ordinary time. Ordinary time in the church is the majority of Sundays, when we're not either preparing for or celebrating Christmas or Easter. So Advent to Epiphany is one of our major celebrations. Lent to Pentecost is another major celebration. But the rest of the year, and it's about half the year, or just a little bit more than that, is ordinary time. It's the green season, the green of your bulletin covers, the green of the tapes on the lectern. The green is for growing. It is a time of growth. It's a time for us to focus on the ministry of Christ and the ministry of his church, our ministry, day by day, in the majority of our lives. When Jesus calls those first disciples, he calls them away from their work. Now, they aren't at worship or on retreat when they hear his call. They're working with their nets, with their friends and their relatives in their ordinary day-to-day lives. When they first hear his voice on the shore, they might be saying some words they'd rather Jesus didn't hear. Or they might be plotting some little bit of sharp practice to get an edge over their competitors in the next boat. They're just going about their lives in ordinary ways. Jesus doesn't wait for Simon and Andrew, James and John to come to him to say, I'm ready, I'm prepared, I'm holy enough to be a disciple. Fishermen, after all, keep unsocial hours, and they work very, very hard. They might not ever find time for church. So Jesus goes to where they are. He walks down to the edge of the water, that living water where they have their livelihoods, where they live and move and have their being. And in a moment reminiscent of baptism, with the water splashing around, Jesus calls to them, follow me. A very simple call. Follow me. Follow me and still be fishermen. Be who you are. But learn to do it a little differently. Jesus comes to us in the midst of our lives. God comes to us in our lives. Doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, God will come to us in darkness of fear or depression or anger or anxiety. God will come to us in gray days of boredom and routine and uncertainty. In the midst of all the preoccupations of this busy life, Jesus is present, God with us, Emmanuel, speaking words of loving invitation. Don't change who you are. Just follow me as you are. Bring your gifts with you. Start from where you are today and follow me along the path. Jesus comes looking for us, even when we're in the midst of all kinds of other things, preoccupied. Follow me. There's an old song that I learned somewhere along the way of 20 years of vacation Bible school. Fisherman Peter, by the sea, put your nets down and follow me. That's all it is. But you put your own name in where it says Peter. Fisherman Peter, Fisherman Penny by the sea, put your nets down and follow me. There's no simpler song than that, no simpler call for us. And yet, perhaps it doesn't seem so simple. After all, the disciples had significant responsibilities when they were called to put their nets down. Peter was married and undoubtedly had children to care for. James and John had aged parents that they were looking after and helping. They could have argued with Jesus. They could have said, I like that call, but I'll do it when I have time, when I have less on my plate. When the children have grown and gone, when my parents are in the ground, then I'll follow you. Nobody would have blamed them for putting him off. But they didn't. They left their nets. And Matthew tells us they immediately left their nets. There wasn't a moment's hesitation as they left behind the old life and followed him to a new life. They answered that call and followed Jesus into an uncertain future, trusting him. And that's the first step of discipleship, to hear the call and to act on it, to respond, to take the plunge and see what happens. Now, of course, we need to hear the voice first, and that might mean tuning our ears to understand and recognize Jesus' voice. At Atlanta Airport on Tuesday afternoon, my traveling companion and I went to the rental car pickup desk, and the young man who was behind the desk had a southern accent and a fast delivery and was very soft-spoken. And our ears were still ringing with the din of being in the airplane and in that very, very busy airport. And we had a lot of trouble understanding what he was saying. We had to keep asking him to repeat himself several times until our ears tuned in to his speech. We have to tune in to Jesus, too. We do that by getting to know him, by reading scripture and immersing ourselves in the stories that tell us who he is. We do it by saying our prayers and by being prayerful in our listening for what he might say to us. We do it by saying the things he told us to do. Service to others, kindness, generosity, participation in the sacraments, weekly gathering for prayer and fellowship. Our ordinary time, our green time, is a time to practice hearing the voice of Jesus. And there are other voices out there. We need to learn to discern which voices are of God and which are not, because not all of them are Jesus' voice. Careful discernment involves sorting out whether what the voice says is something that we expect Jesus to say. Is it something that is characteristic of Jesus? If I hear a voice saying, spray a crowd with bullets, that's not the voice of Jesus. A voice telling me to interrupt a little girl's funeral with hate-filled words, that's not the voice of Jesus. A voice saying, treat people who are different from me as less than human, not the voice of Jesus. A voice that says, love and serve and give and sacrifice. Now that might be coming from Jesus. Our parish mission statement, which is printed on the back of your bulletin cover, derives directly from Jesus' call to follow. In fact, it says, we will follow Christ, and then it expands on that with the different ways in which we will follow Christ. The different phrases give us specifics on how we as St. Francis Church are to follow Jesus. And at our annual meeting in about an hour or so, we'll hear about some of the ways that we fulfill that mission. And we will lay out some vision for how we might continue to do that. For now, we celebrate in this weekly celebration. We celebrate ordinary time. That is something to celebrate too. It's God's time for us to grow. Jesus is here. He is present among us now, in our lives, in the day-to-dayness of our lives. He is calling. He is calling. Put your nets down and follow me. Amen.